Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Happy December again. We are in the thrust of the holiday season, and tonight we have a special program that we're going to talk about with B.J. Whitehouse, the director of the Jamestown Community Chorus. Welcome back, B.J.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you with us again, and B.J. is a longtime director of the chorus. About how many years?
Well, it's not about. It's 24.
Well, it's about
24 years, I suppose, right?
All right, because it's probably not exactly 24.
Well, no.
Okay, see? And the music director and the Jamestown Community Chorus is a wonderful organization and has been in existence for...
Well, since 1949.
49.
We've been singing, and there's a brief hiatus there in the 70s, but pretty much straightforward from the early 80s till now.
And you've been with them for 24 years and do a couple concerts a year. Is that the norm?
We usually do a holiday concert in December and then a May concert. But we've done other concerts. We've done like full readings of Pirates of Penzance. And we've done patriotic things for Memorial Day. I would say that out of all of the times, the majority of them, December concert, May concerts.
And when not directing the Jamestown Community Chorus, people can find you as a teacher in what school?
In Little Compton.
In beautiful downtown Little Compton. We have an interesting show tonight, which is going to take place next Saturday night at 7:30, called A 1943 Radio Broadcast.
Actually, we are going to be singing in a former USO hall. The community center in Jamestown was originally built in about 1943, and we figured it was an interesting time, being, 70 years ago, and that there are still some people who remember it as USO hall. And the premise of the show is that a family, and there's a small cast sitting around an old Philco, will listen to the radio on Christmas Eve in 1943. So we're using actual radio transcriptions from that time. So you're going to hear Bob Hope, and you're going to hear Linda Darnell. You're going to hear Reverend Workman, the chaplain of the United States Navy and Army, as well as music that would have been sung at that time, composed well before that as well.
Right. So, and some classical music, as well as things, maybe even like Judy Garland or something.
Exactly. There's some of the music. One of the first things we're going to sing is by Martin Shaw, called A Fanfare for Christmas, written about 1918. He was not related to, but a good friend of Ray Vaughan Williams. So we have music that was written literally in 1943. But then you look at O Magnum Mysterium by De La Victoria, and we're talking more like 1580, 1590 or so.
Well, why don't we get to that first piece of music, and then we'll come back and talk some more. Anything else to say about this first one?
I think that if you've ever sung in a community chorus, you have sung this piece of music. It's O Magnum Mysterium by Tomás Luis de la Victoria.
Oh,
interesting premise, BJ, listening to a 1943 radio broadcast and the music that they might have heard while they're listening to that Philco, as you put it.
Exactly. The cast is a grandfather, mother, father, and two kids. Both the kids are in their 10, 11, 12 or so. And so there's this kind of fight between what they want to listen to. The grandfather wants to hear about his son over in Europe, so he wants to listen to war news. The parents are like the classical music, and the kids want to hear the swing music. So to that end, we actually have a combo from the Jamestown Community Band under the direction of Bethany Clark, who will be playing carols in a swing version. So they're going to play three or four tunes throughout.
It'll be a little bit of something for everyone.
I think so, and dancing in the aisles will be totally appropriate when they're playing.
So. All right. Well, that sounds like fun. And the Jamestown Community Center, you said, where is that located?
41 Narragansett Avenue. It's right on the waterfront in Jamestown. For anybody who's ever been to Jamestown or those folks who were there in 1943, it overlooks the old ferry dock, if that makes any sense.
And if people are interested in getting tickets or more information, you have a website that has a new address.
It's hopefully a little easier, yes. It's jamestownchorus.com.
It couldn't be any easier than that. jamestownchorus.com. And a phone number for the old-fashioned way?
Well, 401-423-1574.
As a dial gets tuned in, what do we hear next?
Well, we're listening to classical music because the parents get their way. The next piece is by one of our allies at the time, a Russian composer, Sergei Rachmaninoff. And this is from his Vespers, which is actually an Easter piece, but we're not going to tell anybody that. We're singing it in Russian. We have a number of Russian speakers in the chorus who have helped with pronunciations. But the reason I chose it was that Rachmaninoff passed away in 1943. So there may have been some interest in listening to his music on the radio at this time anyway. He didn't write a lot of Christmas music, as it turns out, but he did write this beautiful set of Vespers that we're going to sing number four from. It's in English, it's called Hail Gladsome Life, and it is one of the most difficult pieces. It breaks into about nine parts at one point. And the basses, as you as a bass would appreciate this, is going down to the C two octaves below middle C.
Wow.
The real low C.
That is low. All right, we'll give that a listen.
Thank you.
beautiful music that we should note has not, we're not listening to the Jamestown Community Chorus because it hasn't happened yet. Although it sounds like that, this group was the Robert Shaw
Festival Chorus. They brought the piece to the United States maybe 20 years ago. I think it was the premiere. Wish we sounded like that. We do our best, but I'm not Robert Shaw. I'll put it that way.
Well, that's all right. I'm sure it's going to be a very close in style and in composition, and I'm sure people will enjoy it. And speaking of people, you mentioned that sometimes it breaks into 9 parts. And that means you have more than 9 people in your chorus, right?
Well, we're singing with about 60 people this term. We usually sing with, I never know, so it's always kind of an interesting first rehearsal of each term. And we've consistently sung with at least 50 for the past few years. It's dipped to 40 at times, and mm-hmm. 1 year we had 85. We have no idea why. But right now there's about 60 people in the chorus, and the balance is pretty good. We have an enormous bass section, which we're kind of surprised, you know, normally it's very difficult to get men in community choruses, but they actually are more basses than we have sopranos.
That's very interesting.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful problem to have.
That'll add a lot of richness to the sound.
Absolutely.
And that'll be very cool. So you have about 60 people or so, and if people are interested and they're listening to the show and they wanted to say, I'd always like to sing like that, there's an opportunity for them, right?
Absolutely.
They don't have to live in Jamestown.
No, they don't. And we're one of those people, I've always used this phrase that community comes before chorus in our name. And we care more about the people in the group than we do about making sure that everything is absolutely 100% perfect. I think if I had any members in here, I don't rant, I don't rave in rehearsals. People are showing up on Monday nights for 2 hours, and we want to have a good time. And we're going to do the best we can. So I do push people to learn their parts, to blend, to sing as well as possible. But there are no auditions to be in the chorus. There is a membership fee, a nominal fee. You buy your own music, which is, again, nominal. And even in that regard, if there's a financial need, we'll take care of that, too.
There's ways to work it out.
Exactly. Anybody who wants to sing can sing.
All right. So go to the website or call the phone number and get more information about that. But now back to the radio broadcast of 1943, and what's next on the dial?
Well, we're going to listen to a piece by Camille Saint-Saëns from his Christmas oratorio called Tolite Hostias. A lot of people will recognize it. It's in a lot of hymnals as Praise Ye the Lord of Hosts, which is the translation. But I chose Saint-Saëns because, again, the idea here of the concert is to sing music by the Allies in 1943. So the French were our allies. Mm-hmm. There's a special, we wouldn't call it a shout out at this point, but the radio announcer in the program will, says Vive la France, and this is in support of the resistance and so forth. Just as Rachmaninoff was Russian and there are British pieces, one of the pieces that we're not going to listen to on your program, Mike, was written in 1942. It's called The British Children's Prayer. It is the most sobering text you'll ever read. It talks about, now I lay me down to sleep, but it's not, I ask the Lord my soul to keep. This is one, if I should die in a fiery conflagration of V-bombs, V-rockets from the Germans, I hope that I have done my job, because I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be dead than be under the subjugation of Germany, so I'd rather be free. And this piece is supposed to be sung by children.
Wow.
And it's a very tough piece for the people to get through, and it was written in 1942, so it would have been sung at that time. So a lot of the music we're choosing here, like the Saint-Saëns, is our French allies. We have the Russian allies and the British and so forth. So, and then there's a good smattering of American music in here as well.
All right. We'll get to some of the American music a little later in the program, but we'll listen to this right now, then take a short break and be back with more of the Jamestown Community Chorus.
Thank you.
back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano and have the pleasure of sitting with B.J. Whitehouse, the director of the Jamestown Community Chorus, and they'll be presenting a 1943 radio broadcast show, which will air this coming Saturday night at 7:30. See, I said air automatically when I heard broadcast. It'll be presented in a concert style.
Well, you could close your eyes and use your imagination if you come to the concert.
Right, but they won't close their eyes. They wouldn't see you. I mean, you know, you're worth the vision there. But so that's going to be at the Community Center in Jamestown Saturday night.
41 Narragansett Avenue.
All right. And we know that there are other people involved in the chorus besides you.
Oh, this has got to be the hardest working chorus. The board of directors all work very hard on this one. Everybody is stepping up to the plate. We're going to have a lobby display of a PowerPoint presentation of images of Jamestown from 1943. We're going to have decorations and advertising signs from 1943. But the person I really want to mention is our accompanist, Janet Grant, who has been with me for 24 years. I actually was the one who recommended hiring her back when, and it was an excellent move on my part. What I wanted to bring up specifically, she's also the head of the Community Piano Association. We mm-hmm. have an unbelievably beautiful Schimmel piano that is used. We have no place to put it, really. And the folks at St. Matthew's Episcopal Church have been wonderful in housing it there. It's about an 8-foot grand. It is spectacular. And Janet organizes all the concerts around it. But we're going to move that piano using professional movers, mm-hmm. down to the community center for this concert.
Wow.
And so she can have. So when you hear these pieces, whenever there's piano accompaniment, you'll hear Janet playing, first of all, spectacularly well, but on a spectacular piano. But in the very end of the concert, toward the end, the greatest or the best-selling single of all time, White Christmas, mm-hmm. will be performed by Dr. John Grant, her husband, in a four-hand piano piece with Janet.
Wow. Well, all kinds of things to take in. I mean, just you could sell some people just on the PowerPoint presentation.
Well, there's some music to go along with it, too.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying there's a lot of things to take advantage of. So that's Saturday night coming up soon. Make it part of your holiday tradition to take in the Jamestown Community Chorus.
And if I may interrupt, Mike, the last few concerts we have been sold out. And I credit some of that to the advertising and to your good work here at WCRI. But we're in a large hall. We have 250 seats. The fire marshal's not going to let us put up any more. The tickets are going very well.
Yeah.
And so if you're interested, I think you should get on our website, call, and have them set aside at the door for you.
All right. So have them reserved, get your name on them, and is there a method of paying on the website, or is this a hold up your right hand?
This is a hold up your right hand, and come on in, and we trust you, and your name will be on the envelope with your tickets in there. So
excellent. All right, let's get to the next piece of music, or whatever is involved in the turning the radio dial.
Well, again, this is a fairly unique concert in that some of the interstitial material between here and there will be actual radio transcriptions. This next excerpt comes from everybody's favorite, Fibber McGee and Molly. This aired the week of Christmas 1943, and it's called Fibber Looks for a Christmas Tree. You will find out very quickly who it's brought to you by, but if this doesn't harken back to the old golden days of radio, I don't know what will.
All right, here we go.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Makers of Johnson's Wax, Johnson's Car New, and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. Have you ever waited till the last minute to buy your Christmas tree, only to find that the dealers were all sold out? You have? Well, then maybe you can whip up a little throb of sympathy for Fibber McGee and Molly.
Well, I'm afraid it's no use, McGee. We've been to 7 different lots and we haven't seen a loose spruce.
Don't worry. I'll get us a Christmas tree if I have to chop one off the courthouse lawn.
Well, then I'll have to change my Christmas present for you.
Huh?
That war bond. I'll make it a bail bond.
Yeah.
Say, why on earth didn't you go buy a tree last week as I suggested?
Because they were asking ridiculous prices, that's why. Most of them slum-raised lumber jerks were asking $7.50 for a bow-legged little balsam no bigger than a whisk broom.
Well, you think they get cheaper as they get scarcer?
That ain't the point. The point is to find the guy that's overstocked, see? Afraid he isn't going to get rid of them by Christmas. Get one for a song that way.
We should have brought Nelson Eddy with us then. I've heard you sing in the shower, and that soapy opera of yours wouldn't get us anything but a raspberry bush. Ah, Merry Christmas, Mrs. Nesmith.
Who's that?
Mrs. Nesmith.
Oh. Say, there's a lot right along in here someplace where the guy had a million trees last week, and he can't possibly... Oh, here it is. Come on.
Oh, that must be the salesman. I beg your pardon, sir, but is that Christmas tree for sale? And if so, how much... Well, heavenly days, Uncle Dennis.
Hello, Molly, darling, and Fibberland.
Hi, Unc. Where's the sap in charge of the saplings? We want to negotiate for a live log.
Well, now, I'm sorry, lad. I am indeed. The gentleman in charge of this Christmas tree lot, a fine lad by the name of Monahan, may his pretzels never grow soggy, as he is one of the grandest guys that ever tripped a fruit peddler to take his hungry mother a big juicy apple, has closed up and gone home.
Yeah, but we wanted to buy this Christmas tree, Uncle Dennis.
Yeah, not that it's much of a tree. I've seen better fur on a mouse.
Well, certainly there's a lot of memories there for some people, and a little taste for those of you that aren't quite old enough to remember something like that.
What I tried to do was we're trying to set the tone. So, for example, part of the program, we're going to do an opening to A Christmas Carol. It was a production by Orson Welles with Lionel Barrymore. We're going to do the opening scene, and we're using actors from the chorus, but we're also going to have a sound effects person on stage, you know, doing the door slams and the footfalls and, mm-hmm. you know, the jingle bells, and then a small ensemble will sing in the background and Scrooge will yell at them. We have the applause sign that will light up when it's, you know, people are supposed to applaud. At the very end of the program, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, but at the very end, you'll reach under your seat, and if you sit in the right seat, you will win one of those items that was at that time rationed. So you could win a pound of bacon, or you could win, a steak or something like that.
Or coffee, or a
gallon of gasoline. So.
Oh, and most of them were smoking, but we probably won't be giving away cigarettes.
No cigarettes.
Well, this sounds terrific. What a terrific idea. And I've already written it down, and I'm sure I'll be stealing it in the near future. But all of it sounds great. And to have the radio broadcast, something like Fibber, McGee, and Molly does bring back even if you're not old enough to remember when it happened, just remembering what it used to be like back in the day. All right, let's get to the next piece of music.
Well, this is in a full confession here, Mike. The next piece was actually first performed in 1944 in the movie Meet Me in St. Louis. So what I did, this is the only piece of music in the entire program I'm kind of cheating on.
Well, not really. It's probably written before 1943.
It was probably written, and they were probably filming at the time.
Right.
And so it says...
We'll give you the bio.
Right. So the announcer says, in Miss Garland's upcoming film, Meet Me in St. Louis, here is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Here we go. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again, as in be together if the fates allow. Until then,
Judy Garland singing. Very, very cool. Let's go to this next piece of music rather quickly so we can get it in before the next break.
This is everybody's favorite piece of choral music by Randall Thompson, written in 1940 for the Boston Chorus with a symphony entitled Alleluia.
We'll listen to that and then take a short break and be back with more of B.J. Whitehouse and the Jamestown Community Chorus. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with B.J. Whitehouse from the Jamestown Community Chorus, and they'll be presenting a 1943 radio broadcast show on Saturday night, this coming Saturday night at 7:30. We'll give you more details about that later, but B.J., this must have been interesting, putting this together. This ties together in just by this family that you've described to us, turning the dial, right?
Exactly. The family, there's a little scene. The family's there. They have the surface star in the window and the Christmas tree with the bubble lights and so forth. And then I've been researching this. I mean, where most people are thinking of fireworks on July 4th, I'm putting together Christmas shows. But I did a lot of research into this. And so one of the things we came up with that I really wanted was to actually perform at least part of a radio broadcast, a real radio show. Mm-hmm. So I found the Campbell's Soup Playhouse version of A Christmas Carol that was written by Orson Welles and performed every Christmas Eve, and Lionel Barrymore was Scrooge.
Wow.
It was quite a production. And so we took the first couple of pages of it where Scrooge is in the office with Bob Cratchit and so forth. So we have members of the chorus as playing two people playing three or four parts with an announcer announcing that, you know, Campbell's soup would warm up Scrooge's heart if he would just take, you know, a nice bowl of steaming chicken noodle soup. Plus, we all have a sound effects person who has the little slamming door and the footfalls on the mm-hmm. what's called the walk board. Mm-hmm. And then we have jingle bells and so forth. And then the small ensemble shows up, and they're going to sing the next piece, the Deck the Hall. And then Scrooge throws them out, and they all are disappointed and so forth. But what I wanted was that whole idea. So the announcer then says, and now on our program, and the applause sign comes on. And just I'm trying to recreate that whole feeling, because the community center was a USO hall back in the 40s. It was built specifically for the troops, the Navy, installations in Newport and Jamestown.
Sure.
So it seems to make a whole lot of sense to utilize it that way.
And as an audience member, you've made it real simple. You tell us when to clap and everything.
Exactly.
All right, let's get to this next piece. And you said this is...
Deck the Hall.
Here we go. Say, BJ, this sounds like one of the more interesting presentations that I've come across in quite a while, and congratulations to you for putting this together back in July or whenever you were working on it.
It's been quite an experience for me, because growing up, my parents would talk about radio all the time, and mm-hmm. when I was a teenager, there was a show on back in Cleveland on Sunday nights called The Time Machine, and they would play radio shows, and mm-hmm. I never missed it from the time I was about 14 till I graduated high school.
Wow.
It was a fascinating show and listening to. I mean, that's why I'm familiar with Fibber McGee's Closet. Don't open the closet, Fibber, and, you know, Duffy's Tavern. No, Duffy ain't here. And all of those catch lines from that era. So
right. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
You bet.
All right. We're going to get to another piece of music. But before we do that, I've completely lost my train of thought what I was going to ask you.
Well, you're going to ask me about tickets, I believe.
That's what it was.
Exactly.
I knew it was something.
Why don't you ask me about tickets, Mike?
Because I saw the ticket prices on your notes there, and I thought you had made a mistake.
Well, one of the things, too, is we try to keep community in mind when it comes to audience as well. We have, like I said, a very hardworking board that raises money throughout the year so that we can keep our ticket prices low. So right now, the ticket prices are $15 for general admission and $13 for seniors and students. I don't think you're going to find a better price for a production of this quality at this time of year. There are wonderful choruses, concerts, bands, orchestras, and so mm-hmm, forth. Mm-hmm. But we try to, you know, be very neighborly about this. So we try to keep the cost down. And actually, we had quite a discussion at a board meeting, because these are the highest prices we've ever charged.
Wow. And that's still, well, I did a concert last two nights ago. And these ticket prices are about half of what that was. And that was sold out. So you're really giving them a bargain.
We're trying to.
All right. This next piece of music is what?
Well, it's not so much a piece of music.
Oh, back to the script.
Exactly. This is another transcription here. And what would Christmas be without a broadcast with Bob Hope? So back in 1943, Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, all of these people got together. And if I'm not mistaken, if my research was accurate, he actually didn't travel yet overseas. These were broadcasts. They had GIs and sailors and so forth, Marines all over the world who would make these large discs and then get them back to the United States to the production companies.
Huh.
But this one, this is with Bob Hope, and there's the worst
other things.
The worst jokes you've ever heard in your life. But it gives you a real flavor of that time. Remember, this is 1943. This is right after Guadalcanal. This is where the Allies weren't sure if we were going to win or not.
This is probably the worst part of the war, pretty much.
Right at this point. So I think that makes it particularly poignant that we're doing it in a USO hall from that era with this type of music. But you'll get a real kick out of this transcription.
During the next hour and a half, NBC and its affiliated independent stations will bring you a special Christmas Eve program conceived by the boys who are far from home this Christmas season and including a talk by the President of the United States. In order that we may bring it to you, the following programs have been canceled over many of these stations. Amos and Andy, who will have as their guest next week, Edward G. Robinson, Bill Stern's Sports Newsreel, and Fred Waring in Pleasure Time.
Hollywood to conduct this worldwide tour.
This is Bob Christmas Eve Hope telling all you Americans to keep backing up our boys, and when Santa comes down from the ice and snow, he'll find us sticking together like Franklin, Winston, and Joe. Yes, sir. I'm very happy to be on this wonderful Christmas Eve show. Christmas is so exciting here. You should see the Christmas trees in Hollywood Boulevard tonight. They floated down from the Yukon last week. I don't mean to say that the snow has been that loose everywhere. I understand it's so cold in the Middle West that even the Republicans are waiting for the fireside chats. But Christmas spirit really prevails in Hollywood. All the boys in the service are visiting the canteen. You know what the Hollywood canteen is? That's the only place in the world where a private is happier with one star in his arms than he would be with four on his shoulder. I saw W.C. Fields at the canteen, and he sat next to me, but that's beside the point. You should see his nose now that they lifted the dim out. It's wonderful. But I love Christmas because that's the time of the year that all my relatives come over and sit around the tree. And to think that only a few years ago, most of them were sitting in it. And it sneaks up on you, doesn't it, huh? And you should see the Christmas cards I got this year. I got one card from Dorothy L'Amour with a picture of her and a sarong on it. What a picture. You know how George Washington looks straight ahead on a 2-cent stamp? Well, in this envelope, he keeps peeking over his shoulder. I got a lot of presents, but I received one present I heard ticking, so I threw it right into the bathtub, and I'm afraid I was a little hasty. Now I've got the only clock in the world where the cuckoo comes out every hour and blows bubbles. Crosby gave his kids Indian outfits with real feathers. I don't know where he got the feathers. All I know is that yesterday I saw a stork flying over Los Angeles in a bathrobe.
Tremendous memories, and that's one of the things that I love about this time of year, an opportunity to reflect and be thankful and have great warm memories like that. Bob Hope and company, great.
The worst jokes possible, but he would always be very self-deprecating. I mean, I remember watching the specials from the front and in Vietnam and so forth when I was growing up, and
right.
He entertained the troops. I don't think I don't think Bob Hope ever spent Christmas at home. He was always entertaining.
I remember. I think I've heard that myself. Well, this show is going to take place on this coming Saturday night, December 14th, 7:30 at the Jamestown Community Center. And the phone number, BJ, if they want to call?
401-423-1574.
And the website?
JamestownChorus.com.
What a deal. All right, and tickets are very reasonable. I encourage you to get out and support the Jamestown Community Chorus, but actually, I encourage you to just get out and be part of the community. So right now we have one more tune. Tell us about this one.
Well, what would a Christmas be without the Andrews Sisters? And we have a trio, including my wife is Patty, and then there's Laverne and Maxine, and they're going to be singing an arrangement of Jingle Bells, and this is it.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you, BJ.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Are you ready to sing a little Jingle Bells?
Yes!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what a lot of fun, what a lot of fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh.
Dashing through the snow,
we are dashing
in a one-horse open sleigh.
One-horse sleigh.
O'er the fields we go,
over the fields we go, we go.
Laughing all the way,
all the way.
Bells on
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.